The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
So today's confirmed case numbers for COVID-19, 1,378. 96 COVID-19 patients are hospitalised. 22 are in intensive care units. 1,378 here in the Republic. But in the north, the number is 1,973. That compares to 636 just a week ago. So just around three times as many cases of COVID-19 in Northern Ireland this Wednesday as there were last Wednesday. So lots for us to worry about. And yet, so many people whose main interest at present is getting their digital travel cert. Jack Horgan-Jones, political reporter at the Irish Times as well as. There seems to have been an enormous amount of people who either haven't got their cert or have got the wrong cert, and maybe a spelling mistake or a wrong name on it. And they seem to be finding it very difficult to get information from the state as to how to rectify a problem or to get the cert. What is going on there?
That's true. What's really interesting about this, Matt, is that when you look at it as a percentage of the total amount of digital COVID certs that have been issued, which is, as I understand it, more than 2 million at this stage, it's actually pretty small. We're talking about 40,000 calls roughly came into a helpline. Now, that's an awful lot of calls, but as a percentage of 2 million, it's not enormous. What is seemingly remarkable about this entire situation is that the people who are setting up this helpline, that is the Department of Health, and it's run in turn by the consultancy firm Accenture on their behalf, they don't seem to have anticipated this level of interest. They don't seem to have anticipated this level of people having problems. And there seems to be, at some stage in the whole process, a serious miscalibration, misallocation of resources, underestimating of the complexity of the issues involved that had to be dealt with by the call centre operators. And all that has resulted in a huge amount of people waiting on the line, as we've been hearing over the last couple of days, for upwards of 2, 3, 4, even 5 hours in some instances before they get through. And as we can see from the stats that were shared with the Oireachtas Health Committee this morning, the vast majority of people not getting through at all. We're talking about only, I think it's 7 or 8% of people having their call even answered at all.
There seem to be all sorts of problems with people who may have been vaccinated outside of the jurisdiction. There seem to have been issues, wasn't there, as well, with people getting their names on the cert without FODAs to correspond with their passports. Some people may have received their vaccination in a different name to what's on their passport, because they might have given maybe a married name, whereas they have an unmarried name on their passport. How difficult is it going to be for the state to sort all these issues out?
Well, just on the first issue, so at the moment, my understanding is that the Irish state is only issuing digital COVID certs for people who had their vaccination done by the HSE. So if you have your vaccination done from overseas, you won't be able to get one from the Irish state authorities. On the other issue, it doesn't seem to be absolutely enormous. You're right that there was an issue around people with the Sinn Féin last week having their certs misprinted. It came out with some Greek hieroglyph or something like that, and they're being reissued. And it looks like about 1,000, I think that was the number given to the committee this morning, about 1,000 people are going to have their certs reissued because of a problem with it. But the problem is that, that 1,000 is effectively meaningless because we don't have full visibility because so many people aren't getting through. So we don't really know how many issues there are out there. We don't really know how long they're going to take to solve. We know how long they're supposed to take to solve. It's supposed to take about 5 days after you get through to the helpline. But we don't know how long it's going to take to get through to the helpline. So all these are problem issues. And then on top of that, the helpline is supposed to do just an ordinary job around issuing certs to people who have recovered from COVID, because they're not pushing those out in the same way that they're pushing out certs to people who have been vaccinated. If you've recovered from COVID and you're getting what's called a recovery cert, you have to ring in. So they're dealing with that weight of people coming in as well. And I think that's really the only weight of people that they expected to come in, and they only expected people who were travelling soon to make the calls. And that's one of the reasons why we have to have this miscalibration, this misallocation of resources, because there's been this flood of people with problems and this flood of people as well who aren't travelling anytime soon.
Peter in Burr says, how do you get a cert if you got vaccinated in a pharmacy? The HSE advised me to go back to the pharmacy to get the cert, then said to ring the helpline. But Jack, that would strike me that the pharmacies are all in the HSE system. I would have thought that the pharmacies, inform the HSE of everyone they vaccinated in the day, and that would go into the central data system, which would then allow the HSE to send out your travel cert.
Yes, I think that is the case. I mean, my understanding is certainly that the format in which you receive your cert, whether it's digital or in the post, might differ depending on whether you went to a vaccination centre, whether you were done in a GP or a pharmacy. But certainly if you were done in a pharmacy, I don't think you're supposed to have to do anything. I think you're supposed to be in the category of people who just sit back and wait for it to arrive in.
Jack, I'm throwing in listener questions to you here. You may not have the answers to these, but I'm throwing them to you anyway. Brian in Kinsale wants to know, what are people coming from the UK next week? Will they need a passport of a kind to enter a pub? It's an interesting question, because if all Irish citizens are going to be showing the EU travel, digital travel cert to gain admission to pubs and restaurants for indoor dining, what about tourists coming from Britain and Northern Ireland?
Yeah, I've been trying to figure this out today as well, because I've been looking at the indoor dining issue, and with the greatest of respect to the recently departed Donald Rumsfeld, this is one of the kind of known unknowns. My understanding at the moment is that government-issued non-EU certs, so basically if you're coming from outside the EU, you can't get one of these DCC digital COVID certs, but that if you have evidence of vaccination from, let's say, the UK or the US, then it'll be eyeballed by a bouncer-type figure at a restaurant or a pub, and you will be allowed in. That's my understanding as of now, but I don't have that confirmed.
OK, stay on the line, please, Jack Horgan-Jones of the Irish Times. And Angela Rutledge, you're co-owner of Mugg's Green and Olive's Room Restaurants. What's your criteria going to be when people come? Are you going to be, you're going to, by law, required to check the certs? But what if they say they don't have a cert because, for example, they've come from Northern Ireland or from the UK?
Good evening, Matt. Well, I guess the devil is in the detail. We will be following whatever rules are put in place. So if we're required to look at, to get proof of vaccination, whatever that is, and couple it up with proof of ID, that's what we'll do. But I don't think that detail is there yet. So we're just looking for the regulations and the guidelines to be published as quickly as possible. I know that a tremendous amount of work has been done over the last few weeks by the government officials and by our own industry association, the Restaurants Association. But we still need to tease out the final details. And it's only 4 days to go until the 26th. So looking forward to receiving that guidance as soon as possible.
Yeah, will you be in a position to open up for indoor dining on the 26th?
Not on the 26th, but as soon as possible thereafter. But I couldn't get the staff together to reopen on Monday. It's Wednesday now, our rota gets published tomorrow or today on a good week. So that's not going to be possible, but I will endeavour to do it as quickly as possible because, we want to get reopened. We've spoken to our team and they're all happy to go ahead and try indoor dining and get on with it and make the most of it. So I would hope maybe another week or maybe two at the outside.
It's going to be a maximum of 6 people per table with 1 metre social distancing. Mm. There were suggestions that if there were children, there might be 2 metres. I'm not sure whether that actually is now going to be the case or not. But again, there's still a lot of stuff that you have to be told, isn't there?
That's right. Well, there was a lot of detail in the Fault Ireland guidelines before, and we got to grips with that fairly quickly. As regards the 1 metre versus the 2 metre, for example, if you have a 1 metre social distancing, it might reduce your capacity by 25%. If you have 2 metres social distancing, it might be more than 50%, depending on how many tables with unvaccinated children are there. So 2 metres is challenging, but we just have to try and make it work.
I'm going to go back to you, Jack Horgan-Jones, because there's lots of text messages coming in. One says, I'm vaccinated through my GP since the 5th of June. Still no cert. Due to travel Friday, fully vaccinated, but no DCC yet. Can I travel with my vaccine card? Fully vaccinated since July 6th. Still waiting. Flying on Friday. Screenshot of my 4-hour, 10-minute hold to helpline was cut off then as it closed. That is one that's come up a lot of times, Jack Horgan-Jones. How long does it take since you've been vaccinated to get your cert? And in the absence of getting a digital cert, will your vaccination card actually do?
In the first instance, I'm going to memory from a transport committee hearing last week, but my understanding was that they're hoping to get them out the door fairly quickly. So once you're vaccinated, I think that the waiting time is supposed to be about a week, I think. And then on the issue of whether the piece of cardboard you get in the vaccination centre will suffice, my understanding is in law, yes, it will. Okay, you have to be a little bit wary here because we know about those poor people who have been stranded out in Valletta in Malta. And some of those, as I understand it, people had their piece of cardboard with them. So in law, it's not a travel document. It's not like a passport, if you follow my meaning. You can travel without it so long as you have evidence of vaccination. And as I understand it again, when it's checked at the airport, it may take a little while longer, but I think you will be let through. The open question is how that will be interpreted by other jurisdictions on arrival. And as we've seen with the Maltese case, that is something that, you know, I can't speak to with any authority. And the only thing I think that we can say really is that there's a large degree of uncertainty, which can only really be minimised to a satisfactory extent by having your DCC with you.
How worried are the HSCs saying now? And I want to bring in Professor Anthony Staines in a moment on this. But Jack, what are the authorities saying about the numbers of close contacts who aren't answering the phone to the HSC or who aren't turning up for tests as required?
This is a really interesting one. So when someone is diagnosed as COVID positive, they get a text message to inform them and then they get a phone call. And it turns out that about 24, just under one in four of those calls aren't being answered after multiple attempts and are then being bounced into the next day's queue. So it's creating all this extra work on behalf of the HSE, and that percentage is also holding true for people identified as close contacts. I think the figure is 26%. And then when you drill a bit further down into it, some 20% of people aren't turning up to be tested after being designated as close contacts. Now, some of those people may be tested through another route, but they're not being tied as close contacts while they're being tested. So that is kind of giving rise to this little bit of concern that, you know, people aren't perhaps quite as attentive or as worried as they were during previous surges. So while we're getting increased numbers of cases, perhaps the engagement with the system to help kind of, you know, hunt and kill or hunt and destroy COVID cases as they emerge or before they emerge is not being complied with, or the same level of attention perhaps not being paid as was the case last year and early this year.
Professor Anthony Staines from Dublin City University, what do you make of that? Because there does seem to be a sense perhaps that people are hunting down the vaccines so as to give them the travel certs to get away on holidays or to allow them to go dine in pubs and restaurants. But they don't seem particularly concerned about the potential for actually being carriers or victims of the Delta variant.
I think it is certainly a cause for concern. It does demonstrate the limitations of a call centre-based approach to outbreak control. And you know, we've been calling since April of last year to augment this with substantial local resources on the ground. But that's been shown to work in quite a few other countries, just in terms of bringing case numbers down quickly. And we have several examples from Ireland where major local and regional outbreaks have been managed in that way. And it works really well, because you have people who know the terrain and know the people. But it is worth emphasising that if Delta is well capable of causing serious illness in people who are vaccinated, now the risk is reduced substantially. So if you have a kind of a risk of 10% of dying with COVID, if you're vaccinated, that risk is down to 1%. But 1% is still an uncomfortable distance from zero. And if there's a lot of cases around, we'll see, as they've seen in Israel, as they've seen in the United States, as they're seeing in the United Kingdom, an increasing proportion of the people brought into hospital are people who've been vaccinated, because although the vaccination reduces the risk of something bad happening, it does not 100% prevent it. And that's maybe a message to get out.
Well, you see, you put that out there, but Professor Anthony Staines has already listeners getting in touch complaining about you being on because you're one of the scaremongers, as they see it, from the ISAC group, who only see the worst possible thing rather than getting on and embracing life as it needs to be embraced.
Well, that's their privilege. I mean, absolutely, that's their privilege to think what they will of me. But our take on it is that we living with the virus has not served this country very well. We've had nearly 15 months of lockdown since March of last year, which is a dreadful way to control the virus. WHO told us in March 2020 that the purpose of lockdowns is to buy time to bring in other public health measures to control whatever it was. And this is very standard public health practice. You know, if there's a major outbreak of something, very often you start with some kind of severe lockdown or restriction on movement, and then you bring in other stuff so you can control cases, and then people can come back to more normal life. And that's, I mean, that's what happened in New Zealand, for example. That's what happened in Taiwan. That's what happened in large parts of China. They had serious lockdowns. They brought life back to normal. They've had outbreaks since, and they control those outbreaks as they arise. And sometimes with a big outbreak, you need to bring in local restrictions again, but often you don't with a smaller outbreak, and you get back to living your life. If you talk to people in the Australian hospitality business and people in the Irish hospitality business, who's had a better run of it over the last year? And I know there are significant outbreaks in Australia right now, but their industry has been open for most of the last 18 months, and ours has been closed for most of the last 18 months. That makes a big difference.
Professor Anthony Staines from Dublin City University, Angela Rutledge from Monk's Green and Olive's Room Restaurants, and Jack Horgan-Jones from the Irish Times. Thank you all for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.